Good morning. It is good to be with you today. I was told that Camping Sunday, which only happens every other year, was a Sunday I should expect a very small congregation, small crowd, and I'm glad to say that you blew that out of the water. Thank you. It's good to see all of you here today, our fellow non-campers. So, before we read this morning, as you're turning to Psalm 92, I'm going to just open with a word of prayer, followed with by prayer. I'll have just a short, not anything lengthy this morning, just a short refresher of Psalm 92, a psalm talking about being refreshed by praise, and then offer those who are gathered here today an opportunity to refresh one another by sharing your praises of what God has done in your life. And so I'll be walking around with a microphone, and you get to declare the praises of God today. And a unique opportunity for us. And so looking forward to that. I trust that the message this morning might bring something to mind that you can share with us today that we might say, praise the Lord. Let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning as your children, touched by your love, touched by your grace. You have called us and we have responded to your saving grace by faith. Thankful for your Son, who has given his life that we might know life, that we might be forgiven, that we might know you, that we might find life and truth, that we might be refreshed in the darkest of times. Father, I thank you for those who are here today. I thank you for those who have participated in this service so far. Thank you for giving strength and guiding us and leading us on a theme of not having to fear, not having to worry, because you are God. And no matter what we might go through, you give us many reasons to praise you. So this morning I pray, Father, that you would speak your heart through me to your people here, and that we might share together what you have been doing in our lives. Refresh us this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 92. A psalm, a song for the Sabbath. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp and the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands I sing for joy. How great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep. The stupid man cannot know, the fool cannot understand this, that though the wicked sprout like grass and all evildoers flourish, they are doomed to destruction forever. But you, O Lord, are on high forever. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish, all evildoers shall be scattered. But you have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox. You have poured over me fresh oil. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the doom of my evil assailants. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green, to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. The word of the Lord, amen. Such a wonderful psalm. A psalm that was written, well, I'm not exactly sure when or by when exactly it was written or by whom it was written, but it is a psalm that was placed exactly where it is in the Psalter, at the beginning, towards the beginning, the third psalm of the fourth of five books of Psalms that are collected into the Psalms. You could think of the book of Psalms as like a Bible of Psalms. There are five distinct books, and each of those books is ordered and has the Psalms in them in just the right order to tell a story by praise. The end of Psalm book 3 ends with the fall of Jerusalem. Judah going into exile, the end of the kings of Judah. Jerusalem, Judah, the people of God are dismayed. They are devastated. And book 4 opens with Psalm 90, 91, and 92. Psalm 90 talking about the everlasting, eternal God in whom we can find refuge. Psalm 91 talking about how God is our ever-present refuge and trust and strength. We can go to him. He will protect us. Psalm 92, a song for the Sabbath, a song of refreshment, of hope that all is not lost. Because our temple is gone, because our city lies in ruins, because there is no holy people living within the Holy Land, who are we? What are we to do? Well, we are to do what Psalm 90, 91, and 92 tell us. God is the everlasting God. He's not stopped being God just because he judges. He's not stopped being God just because we have been judged. He has not stopped being God. We can look to him. He will heal. He will forgive. And he, according to Psalm 92, will refresh. And his people can be refreshed and flourished. Sometimes we go through life and we feel like the end of the third book of the Psalter. We feel like we've been devastated. Lord, what is going on? Everything seems lost. And I know I can trust in you, but we wonder, can I ever feel good again? Can I ever find hope again? Psalm 92 is that psalm that reminds us on the Sabbath day that it is good to praise the Lord for his love and his faithfulness, for his conquering of wickedness, for the blessing of his people who find their rest in him. A psalm meant to refresh God's people. So God's people find refreshment in the first five verses in the faithful work of the Lord. Find refreshment in the faithful work of the Lord. Look at how often the word work shows up just in these five verses. He starts out by saying, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. This is a good thing to do on the Sabbath day or any day. I mean, we don't practice the Sabbath like the ancient Israelites did. Our Sabbath day is in the Lord, of course, but we still find times to rest and to worship and to declare, to sing praises to the Most High, because he is the Most High and he is worthy of our praises. We declare his steadfast love throughout the day, not just in the morning, not just in night. That's the Hebrew way of saying all day long, you, God, are a reason to declare praise. And just on top of that, it's not just with our words. It can also be with music. And we tend to flip-flop that. We do more music praising than we do verbal praising. We're going to get a chance to do some verbal praising here in a moment. But we're thankful for the music, the musicians that God has placed in our lives that help us to elevate what we're feeling into the throne room of God as we declare what our hearts are saying, what they're feeling. That God is a good God, that he is worthy of praise. Then he says here in verse 4, you, Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands I sing for joy. How great are your works, O Lord. Your thoughts are very, very deep. The thoughts of the Lord are so profound in his works. If you've ever studied the works of creation, if you've ever studied the works of relationships, if you've ever studied the works of anything and just how things work together so naturally and so perfectly and so wonderfully, we can see that God is a deep God full of knowledge and truth. And his mighty works through creation, the sunset, the sunrise, the storms even, are reason to give God praise. His might declared there, the rain, the sunshine, a nice cool day. The work of God. What work of God, in what work of God do you find refreshment? How do you seek refreshment to refresh your soul? Through singing? Through praising, through prayer, a walk through the woods, looking at the beach, looking at pictures of a sunset in his word, where do you find your rest, your refreshment in the Lord? Psalm 92 calls us to remember his faithfulness, his mighty works, so that we can be refreshed even in times of stress and sorrow, because God is for his people. He works for his people. And he is more than enough, even through difficult times. We find refreshment in the faithful work of the Lord and in the wise reign of the Lord. You ever come across these verses as you're reading through the Psalms, these verses about the foolish, the unwise, the wicked, and how they are destroyed, and how the psalmist calls for their destruction? It's like, how does that fit into the Bible? I don't understand this. How is this refreshing? It's about the wise reign of God, at least as expressed here for us. Because refreshment is not just found in God's faithfulness, not just in his works of creation, the stars and wonderful friendships and relationships we have with each other. Refreshment is also found in knowing that God is wise and his judgments and his justice is good. And we can praise him when he brings justice to the earth. The end of verse 5, he says that he has deep and profound thoughts. Once again, they are praiseworthy. And here we begin to see the wisdom of God, his reign, as he rules over the unjust. And it's a warning. It's a warning as well that we should not get bent out of shape just because the wicked seem to flash like a firecracker all of a sudden. Look at that. Look at, they do these evil, wicked things, and they just seem to explode with joy and happiness, and it just looks like everything's going well with them. And we're wondering, what's going on, Lord? But the Lord says, no, don't be foolish. That will not last. That is but for a moment, and it is gone. Do not find joy in that. That will not refresh. Wickedness will not refresh your soul. Find refreshment in knowing that I am going to judge all injustices, all those people who are your enemies, all those who are after you, all those who practice wickedness. They will find justice here on earth through proper government, or they're going to find justice when I bring judgment on all at the end of time. Our Lord is the King of the universe. He reigns forever and ever. He brings justice upon those who reject him and his ways. And we can find refreshment in that. It's not up to me. I do not have to be the ultimate judge. I can trust that when somebody is against me and they berate me and they tear me down, God's going to deal with it. I can love them because God has called me to love them. He has loved me, a sinner, and he can help me to love them, a sinner. He can help me to love and forgive my enemies. I can trust that even though it looks like they are doing well, that God will bring their evil and wickedness upon their own heads. We can praise the Lord and find refreshment in his wise and just judgments, knowing that our hope and faith in him are not displaced. He is a good and wise king, even when he brings discipline upon his own. Now, that's not specifically mentioned here, but sometimes we balk at, Lord, what are you doing? Sometimes he disciplines us because he always disciplines us because he loves us. Sometimes it hurts, and sometimes we wonder why. It's because he's wise, he's a faithful, loving Heavenly Father who is shaping us and molding us into the image of his Son. So sometimes it can be hard when we have enemies and they tear us down. They call us names. They threaten us out in the public square. But yet we can trust that God will bring justice and that he is also a gracious and merciful God who has offered forgiveness for those who sin against him. So we find refreshment in the faithful work and the wise reign of the Lord, but we also find refreshment knowing that the redeemed can thrive and find refreshment in the hope of the Lord, that sinners can find life and refreshment in the hope of the Lord. Verses 10 through 15. Some strange language here for us, but in verse 10, you have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox. You have poured over me fresh oil. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. The righteous flourish. They bear fruit in old age. They are like trees that grow. They're strong. So that we can declare that the Lord is upright. The psalmist is saying to himself, he's saying to the people, he's saying to us that the Lord has exalted him now. The Lord has lifted him up. He's given him strength. He's cleansed him. He's washed him with oil. And he's given him a right place. A good place. Those who were anointed were the priests and the kings. To have oil wash over you was kind of like how they would take a bath. To cleanse and to call to a place of authority, to call to a place of love, to call them to a place of, you are mine, you are chosen, you belong to me. and he gives strength. There is refreshment when we come to the Lord and place our hope in him, in the one who cleanses and strengthens, ultimately through the death of his son, Jesus. When we surrender our lives to him, when we confess our sin, when we repent of our sin, when we trust in Christ, he strengthens, he restores, he refreshes. And it gives us hope because we know that we will and have seen our enemies disappear. He has judged them. The greatest enemy is death. Our great enemy is sin. The power of sin is broken in Christ as he gives us strength and anoints us and gives us the power of the Spirit to walk in his ways. So there is hope that allows us to flourish, to grow strong and mature, to be able to weather the storms of life like trees that grow strong and mighty are able to weather storms. They're able to bear fruit. And this palm tree and the cedar, they're examples of trees that bear fruit and that grow strong, but they grow slow. Slow growth is strong growth, deep roots, able to handle the stresses of life. So as we abide in his presence, as it says here in, I have not been advancing these slides. I am so sorry. As we find ourselves in his presence, we find refreshment because we find hope in the presence of the Lord who strengthens us, washes us clean. He causes us to again declare that he is good, that there is hope for tomorrow, hope for eternity. The end of this psalm is not just about being present again in the new, well, not the new Jerusalem, but the restored, rebuilt Jerusalem that was promised in the land of Israel, but also a future hope that God's people will be with him, those who have been made righteous in his sight. And we can forever declare that he is good, that he is trustworthy, that he is a stable foundation. And even when we don't understand what's going on, he is good. And we can trust him. We can find hope and refreshment by praising him for his faithful work, for his wise reign in our lives, and for the gospel hope we have in Christ that strengthens and restores. So let us continue to praise and worship the Lord this morning, declaring his goodness, that times of refreshing are for us even now as we share and hear the goodness, the wisdom, and the reign, and the hope of the Lord, and that it is good, that he is good. So I'm going to close in prayer in just a moment, and I want to walk around and just give you the opportunity to say, yes, I have found hope in the Lord. Yes, I have seen his works, and I want to just declare his praise. However you want to do that, that is totally up to you. It can be something that you might think is small. It can be something very grand and large and awesome. Nothing is too small to praise God for. Nothing is too large to praise God for. So let us together share here in a moment with each other the goodness of God that we might refresh each other's souls. Let's pray. Father, this morning, my meager words are so small compared to the truth, the wonderful truth of your word, that you are a mighty God. You have made this awesome, beautiful creation, this world and the stars and the planets and even the miniature world that we have to use tools to see. You are a marvelous, wonderful God, and we thank you. Father, I pray this morning that you would remind us again of your profound and deep thoughts, of your wonderful and right reign in our lives, that you would remind us again of the hope and all of the ways in which you have brought that into our lives, that we might share them with you and with one another. We thank you, Father, for your goodness, for your love, and we declare it again this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Who would like to be the first brave soul to share what God has done?
I'm very thankful for this church. I'm 73 years old, and when I was 25, I thought my life at 73 would be a lot different than what it is right now. My children are not saved. My grandchildren are not saved. They were raised Catholic. We never opened a Bible. And that's why I am so thankful for this church, for the people that have surrounded me, the people that I am learning about the Bible. God has blessed me in so many ways with friends and family. And I know that we're all praying for my children and my grandchildren, but it's hard sometimes. It's very hard to come to church on holidays with no family. But I have a family, and I have a family here, and I'm very, very, very much grateful for all of you. God has blessed me in so many ways.
Praise God. It's been a great week. Last week, I had the pleasure of spending a little time down at UW Whitewater, sharing the scriptures with students. The team that I had with me of two people plus myself, we handed out over 750 scriptures to students. But what I want to share is the blessing that I receive when they take a copy of the scriptures, smile on their face, and say thank you. Now, just to be clear, they don't all do that. But many of them do. And at UW Whitewater, for some reason, it's just a real blessing going to do that distribution for the Gideon's International. Tomorrow, I have the pleasure of going to UW-Madison. It's going to be a totally different picture. And we understand that, but we go back year after year, and we try and do what God has asked us to do, and that is to sow seeds among the people who need to hear about the blood of Jesus Christ and what Christ has done on the cross. I would ask you to pray for us as we go to that distribution. Satan works really hard in Dane County to keep the word from being spread. And I just ask for prayer. I know God's going to be redeemed in whatever is accomplished there. And we praise him for that. I have one more thing that I would like to share. I have a good friend who happened to be my first sergeant when I was in the Guard and for 27 years. He is at the end of his life. And over the years, I've had a number of opportunities to share with him, and I have not taken advantage of those opportunities. I'm waiting for a call from his son so I can come and visit him one more time. This time I will share the gospel very clearly for him. I don't know what the response is going to be, but I know that if God is in it, he's going to be blessed by it. So I ask for your prayer as I go. It's probably going to be tomorrow or maybe even late this afternoon. I don't know. So pray for me. Pray that God will do what will glorify him. I thank you.
Thank you. Praising God for opportunities to share the gospel, to share the word. Amen. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
The beginning of this week was actually quite challenging for me. Just stressing over life and unnecessarily taking the weight of the world on my own shoulders. And Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday rolls around and I'm starting to really feel just the weight of the world. And towards the end of the workday, God finally reminded me why. Why are you stressing? Why are you taking all this on yourself? And Philippians 4:4 was running through my mind. If I can read just a bit of this. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the peace of God will be with you. So I spent the rest of that day in praise and deliberately with a smile on my face, which was difficult, but that totally flipped my week around. And I was able to be more present for my family, who needed that at that point, because they were feeling the weight of me having the weight of the world on my shoulders. And it turned into a wonderful week. So praise God for that.
Thank you. Jason?
Some ailments that I'm recovering from. I'm 60 years old, so unfortunately we don't get younger, and I'm actually shrinking. I was 6'2", now I'm 6 foot and a half an inch. My name is Jason, and I used to say, like the guy from Friday the 13th, but I'll say like the guy from the Church of Acts, or like the guy from the Argonauts, to make it easier for you. My middle name is Andrew, similar to Pastor. And we came here July 18th from the island of Guam, where I lived for 28 years and met my wife and had 7 kids born there, 2 sets of twins, and was a pastor, administrator for a school, worship leader, many opportunities in Guam. And about 3 years before we left there, and one reason we left is because our school that we were running was an accelerated Christian education school, had shut down, actually in July of this year. And one of the reasons that did is because I had basically stopped listening to the voice of God and was listening to the voice of darkness and was allowing that to control everything I did. So basically, my existence was get out of bed, drive to school, try to work with some little kids that didn't require much of me, go back, sit in a chair, go to bed, and so on, for about 3 years. This was after serving as a worship leader for 15 years, serving as a pastor for 20 years, and being actually born again for over 35 years, actually more than that, like 40 years. So I just wanted to say that God is good, and God is always gracious, God is always forgiving. I wanted to read my life verse, which is Lamentations 3, verse 19-25. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait on him, for the soul who seeks him. I just wanted to read one last thing, and I will give you guys a chance to do something else here. Sorry. Thank you. I have 4 kids here in Wisconsin, actually 3 here in Wisconsin and 1 in Kansas City, and I have 3 still back in Guam where they're living with my mom, who is a missionary and pastor's wife, and they're doing well. So it wasn't too hard to be here. Michelle and I are here to help out with her aged parents and to protect my daughter, Gabriella, whose husband is incarcerated. We can talk about that if anybody wants further, but we don't need to get too deep into it right now. And my 3-year-old granddaughter, Sailor, who is wonderful. And I think Sailor was a big part of me coming out of my shell. And I just thank God for Sailor. I just wanted to read real quick something of mine, something that God blessed me with, actually. Are you ready to fly in the sweet by and by? Prepared for the journey, the road to real life. I'm not saying I got it all together, but my Jesus does, and I've been washed in his blood. There comes a time in one's life when we all must decide what's really important, what's right. Turn to Christ Jesus. It's easy to see the beautiful someone you were created to be. Daughter of God, son of the King, once you run to Christ Jesus and at the cross leave everything, there's a place to come home to. Kick your shoes off and rest a while. Come and have your soul healed. Home in your heart, end your sorrows. Put your confidence securely in the one who holds tomorrow. Life holds no mystery once Jesus sets you free.
Amen. Thank you, Jason.
Thanks, Andy. Well, I don't know, so much fits into the testimony so much, but Jason, I haven't had the opportunity to meet you, brother, but I really appreciate the transparency and the vulnerability in that, you know, right? I mean, as thinking of the Life 102.5 song, right, by Kane, you know, on my best day, I'm a child of God. On my worst day, I'm a child of God. You know, every day's a good day, you know, and he's the reason why. But I just really appreciate, you know, the transparency in that too, you know, and what a sweet thing that, again, you know, I mean, he's, you know, Romans 2:4, right? His patience and kindness lead us to repentance. You know, and again, he shows just his steadfast love and again, how he continues to care for us. And yeah, just very sweet. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. David. Thank you.
When I was young, I have to admit I was a sinner. And the worst part is I knew I was sinning. And then when I opened God's word and it said to repent and be saved, and that's what I did. I repented of all my sins and I made a vow not to sin purposely. And I knew God was going to forgive me and that he was going to lead me down the path of righteousness, down that narrow road, and give me salvation. So I'm thinking, I'm going to give God everything I have, and I'm going to thank him for everything he's done. And from here on in, I'm his servant. Praise be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
So we've been coming to this church for 24 years? And I think there's a lot of people that they know about us. You know, we've been here for 24 years, but before that, and in particular my life, I grew up a Methodist in Wisconsin. Easter, Christmas, one of those kind of churchgoers. And I say churchgoers because I was not a Christian. I knew, I believed that there was a God, I believed there was Jesus, but I did not get instruction on salvation. That was not, it was more important that you get baptized, you get communion, or your communion classes and so forth, but deep doctrinal issues wasn't there. So my life was vacant from a spiritual standpoint all through high school and beginning of college. I went to UW-La Crosse to play football and was injured and was deciding what I was going to do. And, you know, it's kind of interesting the path that has my life has taken. I recall some things that are so distinct that actually that left an indelible mark in my head. I remember walking through the food line in the food court, and I was using the Lord's name in vain, and there was another student behind me, and I knew him. He was from our same floor on our hall, and he goes, "You know, you're displeasing God." That was tough. You know, it wasn't my intent to not please God, but it hit home. And shortly after that, I decided I wasn't going to continue at lacrosse. I applied at Marquette, and I started to go to school at Marquette with the intent of going to law school. Kind of got on a sidetrack, didn't we? So in Marquette, it's a Jesuit college. They have required classes that involve study of the Bible, study of spiritual things, philosophy, and so forth. And my philosophy class was like 15 books, some ridiculous thing. It was crazy. But there was a religion class that we had to take. And at the same time, I was also working part-time at a grocery store in Waukesha. And then I was going back and forth to Marquette. And I was a bagger back in the days when they had baggers. And guess who was a checker? The story goes, the first day I walked in, she was talking to one of the other checkers, and she says, "I'm going to marry that guy." And years later, we find out that in her freshman yearbook, it had freshmen, sophomores, juniors, and seniors. I was a senior at that time. I didn't know her from nothing. Her brother, twin brother Dennis, had gone in and circled 10 people he thought she would marry. I was one of them. I didn't even meet her for another 6 years. But anyhow, she invited me out to dinner. She was desperate. No, no, not at all. That offer to dinner was the start of my new life. I knew she was this religious person. And so we started dating, and she knew I was going to Marquette, and I started getting involved in Awana. I started getting involved in different things at the church and learning things. And at the same time, at Marquette, I'm sitting in this religious class, and they're talking about this particular priest about, yeah, there's both creation and evolution. Evolution. Trying to think of the terminology. Theistic evolution. Okay, God created the soul. Evolution created the body and developed in the human being. And I was like, what? That was foreign. I had never heard that before. So who do I go to? No, I actually, through Denise, I went to the pastors at church. And, you know, the lights went on. And 1 o'clock in the morning, sitting in her living room floor. I'm sure Mom wasn't happy that I was there at 1 o'clock in the morning, but led me down Romans Road. The path has not been easy. It's not supposed to be. We're supposed to learn. We're supposed to grow. Tribulations come our way. That's what we do with those tribulations. I've had many. Lots of trouble growing up. But 43 years ago, I became a new man. And it's been growth ever since. Not always steady growth. Growth. And what I have recently, in the last, I don't know, 15, 20 years, is the way I look at the Word of God. It's finite in pages, infinite in content. Try to grasp that. That's something, you know, if you were to go read parts manual or instruction manual, how to replace the carburetor, that's not infinite, that's fixed. You know, that's a manual, and it doesn't change unless something changes in the technology. This is infinite. There's always truth. And I want to encourage you to not get wrapped up in, because this, I did this, and it's easy to do, is to put scripture in cans that you open up and you get the same can of tomatoes every time you open it up. You're restricting and you're limiting your growth and your knowledge of doctrine when you're using the same can all the time and you're listening to the same thing over and over and over again, saying the same thing, expecting different changes and different results. That's the definition of insanity, folks. So what I've done is, I'm not saying I don't use other sources of material, but the Word of God is truth in every aspect. That needs to be the guiding post, the context, the component, who's being taught to, who's doing the teaching. And once I did that, boom! The kind of things that I missed out for 20 years prior to that has now all of a sudden just, and it's so much. You know, I just want to encourage you, don't look at God's word as a bunch of tomato cans that you open up and pick out a tomato, eat it. Oh, okay, I'm satisfied today. No, it's not that. It's not, there's definitely verses in the Bible that are inspirational, and they have to be. I mean, they're there to encourage us and inspire us, but there's more. There's so much more. Don't let the finite influence the fact that it's infinite, and there is never enough. There's always more. There's always something more. So anyhow, I gotta drink some water. Who's next?
Sure, Chris, or excuse me, Corey.
Hi, I'm Corey, better known as Peter to Ted here. I finally found someone that likes joking around as much as I do. I get a little nervous with a microphone, but there's someone that gets more nervous when I have a microphone, and that's my wife. So there's a priest, a rabbi, and I'm just kidding. You hold this for a second. I'm sure as many of you, when Charlie Kirk was assassinated not too long ago, were pretty heavily impacted by that. And so I had just put a simple picture of, or as a video of Charlie up on Facebook, just with a scripture verse underneath it. Nothing political, nothing too preachy. And you would be surprised at some of the people and their response to that. Just the anger that I saw, you know, on my Facebook page and from friends and people who were well-known in the community, things like that, not just, you know, some far off-the-wall person. And, you know, I really like politics, but I've learned not to debate politics on Facebook. It does not end well. So, you know, I was a little bit hurt by that, a little bit surprised, and actually a little bit angry by that. And a verse that came to mind that really helped me get through that, and I'll read that right now. First Corinthians, sorry, I don't have my readers on, so I don't know how well I'll do this. 1 Corinthians 6:9-12, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. So that verse really hit me because it got me to thinking, these people that are angry and really showing, you know, no humanity, they're not just a little bit lost, they're all the way lost. You know, no matter how well respected they are in the community. And that really got to me thinking, first, how grateful I am to be counted, such were some of you. And it also helped me to realize that's where they're at. And they don't have resistance to that anger. They are susceptible to Satan's schemes and all of that. And it really took me from a place of anger to a place of compassion. They need Jesus Christ. And I was saved, and I need to be used to help them get the gospel as well. So just wanted to share that with you. Thank you.
Yes, for many of you, you might know that both Jim and I have a home in Wausau as well as here. So we go back and forth. And to follow up what the man just before me had talked about, what God had, or what Satan had meant for evil, God has turned around for good with all the young people around the world. Purchasing Bibles, going back to church. But what I wanted to talk about was there is a family up in Wausau that have been friends with Jim and I. And they were, their daughter, who was 11, was involved in a serious boating accident, and she died. And she was part of a, she was a twin, and they have five children. She was one of five. She had just returned from camp Saturday, that Saturday, and Sunday is when there was this boating accident, and she passed away. The camp that she had been at, the Bible camp, decided to just wait and not tell the next week's worth of kids until that Thursday following this accident, about her accident. When the children that were at this camp had been told on that Thursday, 15 children accepted Christ because of that. So what Satan meant for evil, God turned around for good. The family is good friends of ours, as well as the paternal and maternal parent grandparents are friends of ours. So it has really hit hard, but praise God for 15 children accepting Christ because of this. So praise God.
Anyone else this morning?
I'm Alyssa. For anyone that doesn't know me, I think most people know me here. But I just wanted to give thanks and praise to God for just the amazing work that he's doing in our homeschool group that meets here on Mondays. We have 22 families and 75 kids that come for school on Mondays. And I've been running this group for a number of years, for more than 8 years, but and our group has been together for a little bit longer than that. But just how close all of our families are, how close the students are. It's really an amazing group of families. So thankful to be able to use the church here, but just to see how encouraged the moms are that come to our group to continue to homeschool and to how to disciple and our kids and have them have Christian friends who are on the same page too. So just seeing how God is working in each of those families that we, you know, see every week and how amazing that is, because it's a really unique thing to have, especially as people are giving testimony of things that are happening in the Dane County area. Even other homeschool groups, there's not very many regularly meeting Christian homeschool groups in the area, and to have such a sweet group of families that all want to honor God with what they're doing with their families and their kids is really amazing, and to see how God's doing things.
What did Corey say? It's you're nervous when you hand it? When you hand it? No. No, I mean, you know, again, yeah, you know, thanks, Alyssa, and thanks, you know, the DeForest Bible Church family. You know, we have the outward-looking missions, you know, right, that we all support, you know, again, through our offerings and what the Lord does with that. But, you know, again, I've just, like Lowell was coveting prayer, you know, as they go down with the Gideons, you know, on the UW campus. You know, again, just covet your prayers for the families that, you know, meet here on Mondays, too. Like Alyssa said, you know, there's 75 kids and 22 families, and
you know, Dane County doesn't have the monopoly on, you know, challenges in walking the Christian walk, but these are families that are all really close, you know, right? And again, living it out faithfully, you know, here, just know that there's an internal mission, you know, that's happening, you know, here every Mondays, and again, that ongoing faithful walk with the Lord, you know, just thankful to you all and covet your prayers, you know, again, for the homeschool community that meets here on Mondays, too. So, yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate hearing from you all this morning. And do we have one final back here? Did you raise a hand? Okay, all right. Mr. Ted, and then we'll have a closing hymn.
I thought I'd better wait. Right now, I have so many stories I could tell about the testimony of the Lord. But I grew up in a Christian home. My mom and dad were very faithful as far as getting us to church, Bible-believing church, Elgin Bible Church, and in fact, I was saved at camp. I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ when I was 11 years old. But I'm going to make this short, but fast, but long, because once you get a guy like me behind Mike, it might take a long time, you never know. But I really knew a lot of theology, a lot of the Bible at a very young age. In fact, I rebelled against that before I was saved. I was probably between the ages of 4 and 5 years old. I told myself I did not want to become a Christian because then I couldn't do everything I wanted to do. Okay, and I wanted to live in sin. Now, can you imagine that? So a young person saying that to themselves? Well, I did. But by the time I was 11 years old, the Lord made it quite plain to me that I was going the wrong way. And there was emptiness in my heart, emptiness in my ability to be good. In fact, I was considered the black sheep, the problem maker, and I had the ability to do that, you know, intellectually. But 11 years old, it came to a point where I realized I was empty in my heart, and I was in trouble at camp, like normal. Counselor said, Ted, you're supposed to be over there in the mission meeting instead of hiding down here in the bathroom. And he grabbed a hold of me, and I pulled away from him, fell down on the water pipe in the bathroom, water squirting all over the place. So I broke a water pipe. And we walked outside, and he said to Ted, you know, I've put up with you all week. And I'm done. You can just get out of here. Just leave. Just leave. Go. And you know, the Holy Spirit got a hold of me then and said, I couldn't go. I couldn't move. And the counselor, he was going to be a missionary. Name was Sweet. And he said, Ted, come over here and sit in my car. I want to talk to you. So when he see that I couldn't walk away, he took me over to the car and I sat down. And everything he said, I can't remember to this day what he said. The only thing he said, Ted, would you like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And I said, yes, I would. And at that moment, at 11 years old, I accepted Jesus Christ. I yielded my will, my self-centeredness, my sinfulness, to the saving knowledge that I already knew about to Jesus Christ. This is the knowledge we know. It's when the Holy Spirit speaks to us and says, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And I received Jesus Christ as a personal Savior at that point. But there was so much sin in my life, you know. One thing that happens to all of us here is that sometimes we can give a word outwardly, but when you're by yourself or you're laying on your bed, you think of the problems you're having to grow up. Now remember, I was 11 years old. And my mother said, you know, the Lord will never let you be tempted above which you are able. But with that temptation, he'll give you a way of escape. And she always blamed that my sin, even after salvation, was not necessary. She said, you could immediately quit. You know, it's just like I heard Tom say, maybe he didn't catch it. But Tom says it's a process. You know, it is. Salvation and growing in Christ is a process. I mean, I could give many different types of testimonies. But one thing that, while I was sitting there, that kept pricking on my heart is, you know, each of you and each of us, I am included in there, are sinners. Okay? But you know some, the things that have happened in your life or death or anything else, okay, the Lord is still greater. It may be the process of you growing stronger in the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. And nothing that has happened in my life or your life is not common to men or women. But it takes a willingness to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and let him change the ways you're going. I remember my wife and I, as we've gone through life, I mean, some of you know I've been to Vietnam. I've been shot down, I've been shot at. We've been poor, we lived in a tent. You know, we have quite a thing, but the Lord is faithful. I've had people misuse verbally and accuse and lie and slander. But you know, that's all part of life. You know? And even when you're hurting, the Lord is faithful. Even though you've not been successful, maybe, in living for Christ, he's not done with you yet. Okay? He who has begun a what? A good work in you will perform it unto the day of what? Eternity, salvation, eternity. You know, so everything that's happening in our life is very important. Number two is that every one of you have a gift. It may not be the same as me. It may not be the same as Lowell, or my wife, or pastor, or David. Hi, farmer. Yeah, see, the farmer over there. But you know, everything that you have in your life is important. It's important because somebody else is looking at your life. And living for Jesus Christ on a daily basis starts now. A lot of families, and this is a burden on my heart, I see a lot of families sometimes just living for the moment and not living for Christ. And the problem is that they're thinking, well, when my kids get older, or I get older, you know, things are going to be better. You know, don't say that. Say, now's the time to teach your children. Now's the time to glorify the Lord in your life. Don't wait till tomorrow what you can do today. You know, I love to listen to testimonies because they do tell me a lot. They encourage me. It says, hey, I'm not in it alone. We're all a team. We're all the body of Christ. Some are toes, some are fingernails, some are heads, some are arms, you know, but we all have a responsibility, and I heard that, of sharing Jesus Christ in the niche of life which each of us have. That's very important. And, you know, I'm going to quit. You know, it's a famous words of a pastor, right? I'm always done. No, I got to turn the mic back. Otherwise, Melanie, I can tell all kinds of stories, right? Yeah, I know. Melanie knows that. Every once in a while, I'll tell her a story and testimony. She says, oh, is that one? You got another one?
Thank you, Ted. Appreciate that. All right, thank you for sharing today, everyone. We'll have more opportunities to do this in the future. Thank you for sharing. Appreciate that, letting us in on what God is doing in your lives. Tom?
All right, we'll close it out. I got to do a rest of the story real quick, though, because Denise poked me and said, you left out something. theist evolution is a lie, straight from the pit of hell. If you can't take one verse literally, you can't take the whole word literally. If it isn't true, none of it is. Just keep that in mind. Okay. Why are we all here? Give God the glory. Wouldn't you stand with me, please, and we'll finish out with hymn number 363.